The big question in business, Wall Street reforms have been on the books now for 6 months. How have things changed?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The Senate Banking Committee is going to be a pretty busy place today. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner testifies about the White House budget. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. You'll also hear a lot about how senators will be grilling federal regulators, who are set to talk today about the progress of the Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Act. It passed last summer, of course. Marketplace New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore reports.
The Dodd-Frank Act set out to reform our entire financial system in just 2 years. So how's that going?
They're up to their eyeballs in alligators because there is a whole lot of work to do.
That's Lawrence Lease, a partner at law firm Duane Morris. He says so far, the Securities and Exchange Commission has written new rules to make executive pay more transparent. But it has roughly 70 other deadlines to meet in the next 11 months. Kevin Petrasek, a partner at law firm Paul Hastings, says the law's biggest challenge is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which doesn't even have a boss.
There are numerous observers wondering what's taking so long.
Petrasek says the watchdog consumer agency is the linchpin of financial reform. How it decides to set rules for mortgages and credit cards will influence every other regulator. Dodd-Frank requires 11 agencies to make 243 new rules. As for the law's mission of preventing banks from being too big to fail, it's too early to tell. In New York, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
Now to the federal budget. Maybe Tim Geithner and other politicians would do better to leave the budget talk to more average folk. Because when presented with the budget in some detail, most respondents of a University of Maryland study were able to reduce the deficit. Researcher Stephen Call heads up Maryland's program for public consultation. He's with us now. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
You asked everyday people to solve the budget deficit, which isn't an easy task. What did you find?
It was really quite extraordinary. We presented a representative sample of Americans, about 800 Americans, the federal budget broken down into 31 areas and said, you can increase or decrease it as you see fit. And they were able to substantially cut the spending levels by about $146 billion. We also went through revenues, income taxes, corporate taxes, and they did actually increase revenues by, on average, $292 billion. So they did make a substantial dent in the budget deficit.
Give us some specifics. You mentioned some taxes went up and a lot of spending went down. What kind of solutions did people come up with?
Well, the biggest cut that they made was to defense spending, which they cut just over $100 billion. They also cut intelligence, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. They cut federal highways. They cut the space program. They cut veterans benefits. Those were the biggest areas of cuts. They actually increased a few areas, too, job training, the environment, education.
What about politics? Any deference toward politics in this?
It's not really what you'd expect. The independents did the best, and they made the biggest cuts and made the biggest increases. That was followed by the Democrats, and the Republicans had the least cuts in spending and the least increases in taxes.
Why is it so tough for people in Washington to do this, to make this work?
Within Washington, there's such a battle between all these forces. But if you give the average American just the time to just sit down and say, okay, look, here is the problem. People can think in a holistic way, and they don't just think in terms of their own interests. They really were thinking about what's really necessary for the country as a whole.
Stephen Call, director of the Program for Public Consultation at the University of Maryland. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Try your hand at the budget, by the way, at marketplace.org. Let's do the numbers. Markets in Europe are mostly flat. Consumer prices in this country rose by nearly 0.5% in January, attributed to big hikes in food and energy costs, in other words, gasoline. The government also reported first-time jobless claims jumped last week to 410,000. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 61 points to end the day at 12,288.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The U.S. today is expected to put more pressure on Bahrain's government to use restraint in efforts to tamp down protests. In violent unrest there today, three protesters were killed and hundreds were injured. Bahrain is actually a pretty wealthy place. The BBC's Katie Watson is with us now from Dubai with the latest. Good morning, Katie.
Morning, Steve.
So if Bahrain is doing well financially, what's causing this discontent there?
Well, Bahrain's no stranger to political volatility, and that's mainly because of religious differences. Bahrain's rulers have encouraged a lot of foreign workers into the country too, not just from the Gulf, but expats from around the world. And that's helped Bahrain become a major hub for finance, for shipping, oil refining. But it's also left the local population competing for jobs with immigrant workers who've driven wages down.
And so as a hub then, Katie, are the protests disrupting business the way the unrest did in Egypt?
Well, at the moment, there's not much in effect, thankfully. Unlike most of its neighbouring states, Bahrain's relatively small oil producers, but it does have some major oil refineries. So far, all the banks and the stock market have also remained open. And fund managers say they are keeping a close eye on the situation, so that's still being watched.
And Katie, how is this important to the United States?
Bahrain is home to the US Navy's 5th Fleet. That helps protect oil tankers passing up through the Gulf to the Suez Canal. So the US does have an interest in obviously keeping a close eye on it. Protests are escalating and now the military's taken control of the capital. So who knows how this will turn out.
All right. The BBC's Katie Watson in Dubai. Katie, thank you.
You're welcome.
And finally, former President Bill Clinton's two terms took up much of the dot-com boom. But the former president this week told a tech conference that of all the time he was in the White House, he only sent out two emails, two. One to American troops stationed in the Balkans, the other to astronaut and former Senator John Glenn, who at age 77 was on a mission in outer space. Mr. Clinton joked he wasn't worried if the Republican Congress subpoenaed those emails. Hey, check us out with our website, marketplace.org. You can also check us out on Facebook. Like us or love us or, I don't know, just don't poke us, though. That'd be kind of weird. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Clothes, it's said, make the man and the woman, it seems. As Fashion Week ends in New York City, the most notable trend was suits for her.
People buy tailored clothing. That's what people invest in.
Don't throw out those floral dresses yet, though. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Fashion is cyclical, you know. We'll have the day's business news as well and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.